word that was brought. I want to kind of piggyback off some of the things were brought out in the Sunday school lesson today. How we are to conduct ourselves in a holy fashion. And bring a message on the theme of the choice is yours. So we know that, you know, as I said in the Sunday school lesson, we're ambassadors of God. We need to imitate God. We need to have the attributes of God. And the purpose of all of that is fulfilling the calling that He has on each of our lives. I think I heard Sister Kimberly talk about it is our job to witness, you know, to bring other people in, to build up the kingdom, because there's so many people. We're saved. Our eternity is sealed in our acceptance of Jesus. But there's so many that are still lost and will not know the joy and peace that we have in Christ because they don't have a personal, intimate relationship with Him. And that becomes a true calling for each of us in our own way, because we've all got different gifts and talents and ways. Some of it is our personality. Some of it is just the way we interact with people that will draw people to you. And then you make sure that they are drawn to Christ or develop some relationship with Him for themselves, you know. So all of that in our calling, and when we get up each day, life is full of choices. And I'm going to bring a message today about the choice is yours. So let us pray. Father God, thank You for this blessed day. We thank You, Father God, for this blessed opportunity to come together as a body of believers to hear from You. We thank You, Father God, for Your continued grace and Your mercy. We thank You, Father God, for Your Son, Jesus, who serves as the ultimate example of how we are to live our lives, walking in love with our brothers and sisters in Christ, unconditionally loving a lost world, helping those that are or who don't have the presence of knowledge of You, and calling on You each and every day, Father God, for strength and guidance to help us in our walk, in our journey in this life, to make sure that we are doing what is pleasing in Your sight in all the things that we do and say. We praise You, Father God, for Your grace and Your mercy, Your forgiveness, the provision, the favor that You give us in life. As I bring this message today, none of me and all of You, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, for You are my Lord and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I have just four scriptures I'm going to reference today, and I'll cite those to you now so you can have those for your notes. But we're going to start in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. And we'll look at verses 19 and 20. It's Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20. Then we'll go over to Joshua 24 and 15. It's Joshua 24, 15. Then in closing out, we'll look at Ephesians and Galatians. So Ephesians 6, verses 11, 12, and 13. Ephesians 6, and really it's a lot more, it's like 11 or 10 through 18, but we'll focus on 11 through 13, Ephesians 6, and then Galatians 5, we'll look at some of the verses in the fruit of the Spirit in this section, 16, I think verses 16 through 26. So at the heart of today's message is all about making the right choice. And I want to encourage and challenge the church today to make the choice to live by the Spirit. And what I mean by that is really making choices that are spiritually grounded, spiritually minded. And we'll look at Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. I'm going to read these first two verses, 19 and 20. a lot of context in just these two verses. And I want to hopefully get to everything I want to really hit on today. But first, picking up in verse 19, Deuteronomy 30, and I'm reading from the NIV, says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life." Now, church, at the onset, it's telling you there's two things that's presented before us each and every day. There's life and there's death. There's blessings and there's cursing. They're equating life with blessings and death with cursings, right? But what I love about God's word, even with those two things, it seems obvious. But he says, I want to tell you now, presently, choose life. And then, but why choose life? So that you and your children may live. Amen? And when he talks about living, he's not talking about just existing. When God says he wants you to live, he wants you to have purpose. He just wants you to be here and then gone, but he wants you to live. And not only do choose life so you can live, but he also says, now choose life so that you may love the Lord your God. So what does that mean? That means that when I choose life, I'm choosing to love God because I'm living a life of gratitude. I'm living a life of appreciation to my Lord and Savior. I think we talked about there in Sunday school, y'all talked about reverencing God, honoring God with this precious gift that we have of not just life, but life everlasting. Not just existing, but living with purpose. Amen? So it says, now choose life so that you and your children may live. So it's not just for you, it's also a lineage, a generational thing here that you pass on by choosing life. And so we say, okay, and the further instruction as it goes on says, listen to his voice. Hold fast. That means to cling to, adhere to obey. When you hold fast to something, you want to cling to it, adhere to it. You want to obey it. So it says, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. And then it gives the definition of what life is. Because it said to her to choose life. So he says, for the Lord is your life. So he's not just saying choose life to just do whatever you want to do. The Lord is your life. So when you go back and you look at that verse, when he says, now for the Lord is my life, it's saying now choose the Lord. Right? Choose the Lord so that you and your children may live and you may love the Lord your God. Amen. So as we look at the word and we dissect these verses of scripture, when it says, for the Lord is your life. Okay. So I'm not just here. I have a purpose through my Lord and Savior. Amen. And then the rewards come. We also saw that in the Sunday school lesson. There's a reward for those when you accept Jesus as is our Lord and Savior. So it says, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. And I wanted to talk about just highlighting or underlining those that scripture when it says he will give you many years. Because we know how God defines time. A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Amen. So we understand that life, and I think even King talked about longevity has its place. And God knows the place and the time. As I think we hear pastor tell us all the time, it's appointed. There's a time. Right? Amen? But is what we do in the time that we've been given. The quality and quantity of your life is measured in the lives that you touch. Amen? And in the lives that you touch, one can be many. Because if I witness to and touch one person's life here, that's one life, that's one soul saved that wouldn't have been saved if I had not fallen the calling of Christ and touched that person's life. So I don't want to get caught up in measuring things the way we do here on this earth. And we say, oh, I witnessed to 10 people. You only witnessed to one person. That's one more person that you wouldn't have been able to reach. And we have to look at the way God measures us as all the body of Christ. Your foot can't do what the hand can do. The eye can't do what the leg can do. We all got different callings. Don't get caught up in what one extremity is doing over the other. Do what God has called you to do. Don't start trying to measure your life versus somebody else's. I was very touched by KT's funeral or celebration of life. With people's lives that he touched you was evident by the people that were in that room that loved him. Amen? And that's the way we all want to live our lives. You want to, whomever you come into contact with, you want to make sure that you touch them in a positive way. Amen? I think I heard Sister Kimberly talk about you don't want to be responsible for turning anybody's life in a negative manner. You don't want to turn anybody away from Christ. You want to promote Christ. You want to bring love to everyone you come into contact with. So the Lord is your life. We don't always think about it like that, but because the Lord is our life, we got to live for him. Amen. So choosing life, choosing blessings over cursing, choosing God, choosing Jesus, choosing to do what is right, choosing God's will and God's way over your own ways. Amen. Over choosing to do and act any kind of way I want to act. Amen. Not being worldly or world-like. Amen. I think I heard Sister Sandra say we have to set ourselves apart. Amen. And it starts, church, with a choice. We turn to Joshua 24:15. It says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Every day is a new day. So when you wake up, you need to decide whose life you're going to live. You're going to choose God's life that he chose, what he's purposed for you. Or you're going to go in your own way. So it says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. So the choice is yours. How do I set myself apart? It starts with how you present yourself to the world. Amen. What impressions do you give off when people first see you? And we can take this on the most carnal sense and in a worldly sense and say, well, typically people, when they first see you, the first impression, they'll look at your dress. You know, how casually you dress, or sporty, or laid back, or classy, or sophisticated. Say, okay, that tells me something about this person. Sometimes it's a matter of what we have to do for that day. You know, if you're dressed for work or you dress for play, that kind of dictates what kind of day you're going to have. If it's going to be a leisurely day or an actively working day. That's our attire that we put on. The people can see, like, okay, Mr. Torrin got his swim trunks on. He going to the pool. You know what I'm doing, right? Or he got his work clothes on. He's going to work today. And I think as Christians, we have to think about our attire spiritually. What kind of attire or wardrobe do we put on when we start our day? We have to choose what we're going to put on spiritually. Amen. It's a matter of choice. Life is full of choices. And one of those choices each day is, what are we going to wear? And as Christians, God has charged us to be equipped with the full armor for battle. Amen. In this physical realm, it's hard sometimes to realize that we're not in a physical battle with people or situations, but we're in a spiritual battle every day. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The choice is yours, church. This is why we must make the choice to put on the full armor of God each day. Amen. So I'll reference this down to Ephesians 6, where we look at the full armor of God. Ephesians 6, picking up at verse 10, says, "Be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." So God is telling us what we're dealing with, and he's telling us how to prepare ourselves each and every day. Amen? Be strong, be mighty. How do you do that? By putting on the full armor of God. So you can be prepared, and the devil and his schemes, they won't catch you off guard or unprepared for whatever he might try to throw at you in any given day and time. Amen? Verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Verse 13, "Therefore put on the full armor of God." Not part of it, not some of it, the full armor. You're going to need every piece. "So that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." Amen? So, on down verses 11 through 18, it breaks down the seven armor, seven pieces. Some people want to refer to six pieces, but I'm going to show you why it's seven. The first one, the belt of truth. Right? We know that the belt of truth is really just about be truthful and honest. All of these things are going to tie back to the Sunday school lesson of being holy, right? So to be holy, you got to be truthful and honest, right? Is that correct? So I'm going to walk with the belt of truth. In other words, because I represent my Lord and Savior, I don't want to come across as a thief or a liar. Because I'm representing my Lord and Savior who is holy. So if I want to draw people to him, then I must be holy in the sense of I must be truthful and honest. Amen? So I want to be honorable. I want people to know that, hey, you can trust me. If you got a situation, you got a problem, I'm not going to deceive you. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to lead you astray. So being truthful and honest helps you respect someone, and it helps you to trust someone. Amen? If you didn't trust God, you wouldn't follow him. But you follow him because you know he is truthful and honest. He is holy. Amen? So you got to have the belt of truth. You're going to carry that with you. That's going to be your demeanor that people will look at you like, okay, yeah, that minister Torrin, he's a man of his word. If he tell you he's going to do something, he's going to do it. I don't have to worry about it. Amen? Then the breastplate of righteousness. Let's think about that, church. The breastplate of righteousness. Now, in the most physical realm, you know what a breastplate does? It covers your what? Your heart. So if you're just, so if you got a breastplate on and you're being righteous, that's like, okay, I need to do what's right. I have to make sure that I keep my heart protected so I have a good heart. Amen? So doing what's right means you have a good heart. And if you're going to do what's right, you want to keep that protected. You don't want to walk around here with this and somebody who knows Valentine's Day was just everybody with broken hearts, right? We don't want to walk around with broken hearts. We protect our hearts by doing what's right. We don't do what's wrong. You know, when you do what's wrong, you hurt people, right? You hurt their hearts. So we want to do what's right. You want to have a good heart. Amen? And then you had to have your feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Now, we know that means we need to be people that promote peace everywhere we go. Feet fitted with the gospel of peace. I think it's fitting that it talks about feet because peace is always a direction that you're going in. Are you running to peace or are you running to chaos? Amen? Are you promoting peace or are you promoting war? Amen? So it's all about a peaceful existence, not turmoil or fighting, discord. Where I walk into a room, I want to promote peace. Amen? If people are arguing, I want to be the mediator and come between them and say, hey, we don't need to fight. I want to promote peace in this room right now. You can't get anything done in chaos. So you have to have your feet guarded to be sense of, you know what, I'm going to promote peace in every room and every environment that I interact or come into contact in. Amen. And what's also fitting about the gospel of peace, now think about it, is added the gospel, feet fitted with the gospel of peace. What's the gospel? The good news of Jesus Christ, right? The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. So that means I need to be witnessing the good news of the peace that Jesus gives by believing and accepting him. Amen? My feet are going to be moving. I'm not just sitting stagnant. I'm going to be getting out in this world. I think Sister Kimberly talked about it. Witnessing to people. Trying to get people saved. To get people to get a relationship with Christ. Amen? So, and when you do that, what are you doing? You're promoting peace. People are in discord because they don't have a relationship with Christ. He was the Prince of Peace, right? So, feet fitted with the gospel of peace is all it's saying is that I have to be fitted with witnessing the good news of the peace that Jesus gives by believing and accepting him. Amen? Then we got the shield of faith. The shield of faith, church. Think about what a shield does, right? A shield protects you from all kind of angles, right? So you got your breastplate on to protect your heart. You got your shield to govern and anything else that tries to come up against you. So that shield of faith, that's that big shield that's in front of you. That's really having and applying faith. It's believing and then acting on that belief. Amen. That's what the shield of faith was. That shield keeps you covered. It shelters you from the lies of the enemy when he tries to throw darts at you of deception, when he tries to lead you down a wrong path. You know what? I got my shield of faith here because I am rooted and grounded in the Word of God. You're not going to shake or move me from this. This shield is going to protect me from the lies of the enemy. This shield is going to protect me from anything you try to throw at or bring me down. Amen? I'm not going to be deceived because I have a belief, and I just don't have a belief. I'm going to act on my belief. I'm going to tell you why I believe. Amen. And then we got the helmet of salvation, church. Very fitting that the helmet is on your head. So we know that helmet, what does a helmet do in football or in a motorcycle? It's protecting your brain, right? That helmet protects your brain. That brain is controlling your mind, which controls your thoughts, which controls your actions, right? So if I have a helmet of salvation, then that means I have accepted and received the salvation of Christ. I'm covered. I'm protected. No one's going to keep me from an eternity in heaven because I have the helmet of salvation. I am saved. Regardless of whatever else happens in life, I am saved. I am covered. Amen? So that helmet of salvation protects that. That's Jesus Christ. He protects that. I'm saved. I'm covered. I've accepted and I've received salvation, so I'm covered. But then, all these other things that I've listed have been things to protect you. And now we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's your weapon. So we're not just out here. We're not out here just playing defense. Now we got some offense in our hand. So what do we do with the offense? The offense moves the ball down the field. The offense gets things done. The defense protects you. You got to have that protection. But now the sword of the Spirit is saying, you know what, enemy? Let me put you in your place now. Since you're trying to do this to me, you're trying to lie, trying to deceive me, trying to pull me down. Let me put you in your place with the Word. Every time the devil came at Jesus, he came back to him with the Word of God, right? That's how it says that when you use the Word of God against the enemy, he will flee, church. But you got to have your sword. You got to have that Word with you. And people, like I guess in the old days, They said old women in the church used to take the Bible and they beat you over the head with it when you weren't acting right. But we know that we got the Word of God in the tablets of our hearts now. So even when our Bible's not in our hand, we have that Word in our spirits, in the tablets of our hearts, so we can speak the Word because we have learned it in Sunday school and Bible study. We know what the Word says and we know how to use it. That's your sword. That's your weapon that you use against the enemy. And anybody that tries to bring any kind of attack to you, you have your sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen? And you have to know how to, you have to know the Word, and you have to apply the Word to your circumstances and situations. That's your weapon. Amen? Now, those are the six things. They talk about the seven, the six armor, the six things of the armor of God. The number seven thing that it does mention here, the praying without ceasing. Amen? On all occasions. On all occasions, keep on praying, right? So prayer is your seventh piece of the armor. And you have to do it. With the reason why it's so important to pray without ceasing on all occasions, to keep on praying. Prayer is the Holy Spirit's means of acting. You accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. It's in you. But now, how do you get the Holy Spirit to act? You need to pray. Amen. Pray in the Spirit. You speak back to God His Word. Amen. You speak to your circumstances and situations. You speak the Word of God over your children and over your grandchildren. You speak to God, you speak the Word of God over your health, over your finances, over anything, any and all things, on all occasions. There's not a single occasion you don't need to pray over. Amen. We bless our food before we eat, right? We say our prayers when we wake up. We say our prayers when we go to sleep. Amen? On all occasions. Before you get on that road and you travel, you pray. God bless me, cover me, give me traveling mercy. On all occasions, pray without ceasing. Amen? So we got the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. In prayer, amen. So we take on that full armor. We choose to, the choice is yours. We choose to put on the full armor each day. With the full armor of God, now we are dressed and equipped with the character of God. Now, the character of God, we know Galatians 5 and 22 and 23, the character of God is the fruit of the Spirit, right? So we are now dressed and equipped. We have the capacity, because we are dressed and equipped with the full armor, and we have this character of God with the full armor on, you now have the character of God. So you have the capacity to do what God has called you to do, because you're equipped with the armor, and now you have the capacity because of the fruit of the Spirit, this character. Amen? So that character of God helps you to exercise, apply those nine fruit. Now I know how to walk in love. Amen? So now that I'm dressed and equipped, we have the capacity to walk in love. We are now dressed and equipped because we have the capacity to walk with joy. We are now dressed and equipped because we have the capacity to walk with peace. We are now dressed and equipped because we have the capacity to walk with patience. We have the capacity to walk in kindness. We have the capacity to walk in goodness. We have the capacity to walk in faithfulness. And we have the capacity to walk with gentleness. And we have the capacity to walk with self-control. Amen? The choice is yours, church. The choice is yours. So make the choice to choose to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, I'm going to pick up in verse 16. It says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you may not do whatever you want, but you are led by the Spirit. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law." Amen? So the acts of the flesh we know are obvious. It says sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Here we go again to that word of living and life. And whose life are we living? God is our life. So as God is your life, you won't be living under the guise of the flesh, right? But verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, if you're living your life for Christ, if you're living your life for God, and God is your life, then you'll have love, you'll have joy, you'll have peace, you'll have patience, you'll have kindness, you'll have goodness, you'll have faithfulness, you'll have gentleness, you'll have self-control. Amen? Verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Amen? The choice is yours, church. The choice is yours to choose life. The choice is yours to choose Jesus. Choose love. Choose joy. Choose peace. Choose patience. Choose kindness. Choose goodness. Choose faithfulness. Choose gentleness. Choose self-control. Amen? Choose to live by the Spirit of God each and every day. Choose to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve, which is our God. Amen. So in closing, be mindful of these two choices. Choice number one, put on the full armor of God every day. God has equipped us. He's given us what we need so that we can handle whatever life throws at us. But you got to put on the full armor. Don't forget that you're saved. Don't walk out the door without that helmet of salvation. You're saved. Don't forget your sword when you walk out that door. You need the word of God. And when you walk into that next environment that you're walking into, you make sure your feet are fitted with peace. Don't be walking in rooms creating chaos and turmoil when you walk on your jobs or wherever you go. Remember to have that shield of faith. Because you believe and you're acting on that belief in everything that you do and say. And on all occasions, pray without ceasing. And then apply the fruit of the Spirit. So you make sure that you have the characteristics of God. Those are action words, not just things that you say, but things that you do. Amen? Exhibit all 9 characteristics in everything that you do and say. Amen? Amen. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word today. Thank you, Father God, for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father God, for leading us and guiding us in the way that we should go. We thank you, Father God, for the discernment and wisdom that you give us that we can apply to our lives. We can share your word, Father God, with those who we come into contact. We thank you for covering us, Father God, with your grace and mercy. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.